welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
Well, we're going to go ahead and get started this morning in a passage of Scripture in the Old Testament, right out of the book of Psalms, and probably one of my favorite Psalms of all time. Psalm 23, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake." Beautiful scripture, beautiful psalm. Love it, read it, and just get so much. Every time I read it, it just ministers. It's like the life that's in those words just comes right out and just ministers to my soul every time. But as we're looking at it, we've preached on this passage before, but I really want to take a look at it this morning in terms of what we're seeing, how God works. You see that he makes us lie down in green pastures, leads me beside the still waters, and he restores my soul as he leads me in those paths of righteousness. And this morning, I just want to look at, ultimately how God does that, how he restores our soul. But we see here that there's process in this psalm that gets us to this place of our soul being restored. It starts out with the green pastures, the still waters, and then there's those paths of righteousness. When we think of our soul and restoring the soul, a lot of times we'll think of, the battlefield of the mind, or the battle of the mind, and keeping your mind and your mind and heart clear and right. But as you're fighting that good fight of faith, and there are those battles and those spiritual battles, a lot of times we experience almost like the fog of war. You might have heard that expression, the fog of war in our own mind, as we're kind of working through stuff and thinking through stuff and dealing with things and all that. And so, I've heard a great analogy too, just as it relates to pilots. I've never flown a plane, but I've heard, pilots talk about instrument panels and how when they're in the fog, the real fog, they've got their gauges on their plane that they've got to go by because they just can't see with their eyes, the horizon line. They don't know when they're pointing their plane, in their own mind, whether they're pointing it up or down or what. They've got to look at those instrument panels to see that horizon line and trust it. And I've heard sometimes that the equilibrium, the little gauge in your own ears can get off. And you can feel like the horizon line is saying, okay, move the plane so many degrees in this direction. And in your mind, it's like, oh my goodness, I'm going to stick this thing right in the ground. It's like, no, it can't be. And I've heard that sometimes they just almost have to look away and put your head between your knees and then go take a fresh look at the instrument panel again and trust it, because you can feel so passionately about something, and yet it's not true. The instrument panel is saying, nope, this is what's straight, this is what's level, but you can't tell in the fog. And so many times when we're dealing with the fog of war, or the battlefield of the mind, we need that same instrument panel. We need some gauges that we can look at to help us fly, because we can't go by what we feel and what we see, because we just, we can't see, we don't know. There's things we don't know. And so I see this passage, now we're going to look at it this morning in this light. This is like our instrument panel. We're going to have an instrument panel of the green pastures, the still waters, and paths of righteousness. Some things that we're going to look at as we're going through that God uses to help this whole process of restoring our soul. Okay, so the message title this morning is simply Restoring Your Soul. He does that from a place of lying down in green pastures, looking out across still waters. And there is a refreshing and a restoration of your soul. And it's not that you know everything. It's not that you understand everything. It's a work that he does in you while you're letting those aspects of his green pastures and still waters and paths of righteousness do its work of restoring your soul. Doing what we can't see with our natural eyes, but trusting the instrument panel, you could say, of his word. So this morning we're going to look at restoring your soul and kind of the process and how that works with the Lord. So the first aspect of restoring your soul, we're going to look at those green pastures. Now these are green pastures of life and peace. All right? These are, it's interesting how God, you know, it's like when we're down, when we're frustrated, when we're confused, a lot of times we want answers. We want to know the direction. We want the specifics. But God does something as it relates to restoring our soul. He starts with these green pastures of life and peace, we'll call it. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Don't let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. So we see the proverb writer here just saying, you know, give attention to my words, incline your ear to my sayings. So again, when you're in that kind of the fog of war and in the battlefield of the mind, one of the first instrument panel gauges that we can look at is simply the Word of God. Just getting our mind back on the Word of God. It changes the narrative. You know what narratives are? Those are those, it's just kind of the storyline, if you will, of the things in your life. You know, it could be the frustrating things, the scary things, the why God questions, different things. We can have different type of narratives, and it's like you know when you get back on that narrative again. It's like, oh man, here we go on this merry-go-round again. It's not my first rodeo in a bad way. You know, where you've been on kind of those circular narratives of the enemy's wisdom and different things like that that take you down those dark paths. And so what the first instrument gauge does, the green pastures of life and peace, it's basically saying, I'm just going to switch off that narrative. I am changing the channel. I'm changing the narrative. I'm not trying to solve a narrative. I'm changing the narrative to the Word of God. I'm going to give attention to His words again. It's like even coming in this morning, you know, we don't know. You know, we're a charismatic church. We definitely believe in the present-day ministry of the gifts of the Spirit and how God wants to flow, and we don't plan that. We don't choreograph. We don't, you know, we just stay open to whatever and however God wants to move and flow. So I didn't know waking up this morning that we'd be coming in, and all of a sudden, just the emphasis on not set aside the grace of God. Don't set that aside. Put the grace of God front and center again. Let that blood cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Let Him cleanse your conscience. Receive that free gift of grace again. Praise God. That's a fresh word. That's God's narrative. God has narratives of His love for you. He has narratives of grace. And it's amazing how you can get on that narrative of receiving cleansing and forgiveness. And all of a sudden, not only are you cleansed and forgiven, but a lot of times the insecurity and different things like that goes with it. And all of a sudden, there's a lot of things you're not even thinking about anymore because you just know you're loved by God and He's with you and He's for you. So there's a give attention to my words, incline your ear to my sayings. You can see the aggressiveness, and sometimes depending on that fog of war, it can depend on that aggressiveness. Don't let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. They are life to those who find them, health to their flesh. Keeping your heart with all diligence. But you see it produces a life. It's not just a biblical or a Bible discipline. There is something you find in there. There is a life. This is kind of the New Testament version of that idea. The Apostle Paul writing, he said, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Here it is, those green pastures of life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. Now, herein is That extra, that verse there, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be, that exposes Satan's, I believe, number one strategy coming against the believer: carnal mindedness. I don't care how long you've walked with God. I don't care how much you know about the Bible. I don't care how much fruit you've borne for the kingdom of God. If in your current present state you're carnally minded right now, you're handcuffed. You might know the theology, but you can't do your theology if you're carnally minded. The carnal mind is enmity against God. It's not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. It stays in a place of self-justification, and I'm carnally minded, and I'm not moving, and I'm here, and you can have your 15 reasons, but the one thing you can't do is you can't do the word of God. You can't live. It binds you. So from Satan's standpoint, is all he cares about is get them carnally minded. That's all I care. You know, whatever that takes. That's his strategy. God's narrative, God's strategy is life and peace. And so sometimes as we're looking at that instrument panel, getting through the fog of war, and we're kind of judging the stuff that's going in our own head, we got to ask ourselves that trajectory. Is this a trajectory of carnal mindedness, or am I on a trajectory of life and peace here? Because here's the power of the Word of God. We kind of even talked about it this morning in worship. The Word of God itself is living and powerful. There is life in these words. In other words, these words aren't like something you'd read out of the Reader's Digest or something that you'd read out of, you know, an inspirational thing or a newspaper or somebody's article. These are living, powerful words. One of the greatest gifts that God gave us in this earth today is His Word, to be able to know how He thinks, how we're supposed to think, to guide us, to navigate us in this fog and things that we can go through. But there is power in the Word. Now, I had a scripture that I meant to put in here, but I'm going to go ahead and just tell you what it is. This is in Hebrews chapter 4. And verse 12, it says, "For the word of God is living and powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It divides. It puts space between your soul, how you feel, and your spirit, who you are. It divides your soul and your spirit. It divides your soul and your spirit, the joints and the marrow. The word is a discerner of the thoughts and the intentions of your heart." So, one of the big reasons why we've got this instrument panel of the Word and the green pastures and lying down in the Word of God and what the Word of God says is the Word of God is what gives us the ability to be honest with ourselves. You cannot judge the thoughts and intents of your heart outside the Word of God. We need the Word of God. I know we're all amazing and we judge our intentions and all that, but I'm telling you what, You meditate on the Word of God a little bit, and it's like, okay, yeah, I can see where that's a little self-serving. I can see where maybe my wisdom isn't fully without partiality and without hypocrisy. I may be omitting some of my stuff as I'm, you know, I kind of like put it this way once, the way the Lord showed me as far as it relates to dealing with forgiveness, for example. A lot of times, if there's a video playing out of our life or somebody else's life, bitterness will see right where they missed it and they'll hit pause right there. Now, if you're, I'm thinking of the old VCR, but you hit pause on something and that's where they are and that's where they stay. But forgiveness will hit play and let it play out and let them grow and learn like you do, right? Sometimes, you know, we're willing to hit play on our mistakes but then pause somebody else's mistakes and all of a sudden our wisdom is very impartial. And we think we're so right because there it is. It's paused. They did that. Yep, and you did this, but you've moved on. It takes the Word of God to be able to see that stuff. We can't see that in our own mind, especially in the world that we live in. A lot of what the world calls social justice is nothing more than glorified bitterness that God does not agree with. And you got to be able to see through that and not get played by it. Man, if we don't see through it, not only do you get played by it, but it can get in you and you can take on a lot of times that spirit of the world. But this is our instrument panel. This is where we're looking and saying, no, Lord, I want to set my mind. I'm open. In other words, I'm lying down in green pastures. I'm teachable. I'm being ministered to by your word. Because one of the most refreshing things about the instrument panel of the word of God to me is when you're in that fog of war, it's like there's nothing clear, there's nothing definite. It's just everything's kind of fuzzy. But when you get in the word of God, things get clear. And it's refreshing to say, no, that's right, that's wrong. And not only is it right and wrong, like this is something the world doesn't understand because what Jesus said about the Spirit of God. He said, when the Spirit of truth has come, you know, he's going to guide you into all truth. The world cannot receive the Spirit of God because it doesn't see him or know him. When you have the Spirit of God and then the Word of God, it's not just right, wrong, religious. It's the Spirit of God bearing witness with the Word of God that it's true. And when that word divides your soul and your spirit, it's not just like technically right, technically wrong. The Spirit of God in you says, amen, amen, that's right. There's an authority of the Word of God you experience from the witness of the Spirit of God that's on the inside of you. But we have to stop and lie down in green pastures. We've got to be able to stop and say, okay, here we go. Lord, I'm going to look up your word. I'm going to look up certain scriptures. I'm going to begin to think about, give attention to your words. Incline my ear to your sayings. Let me say this now as I'm kind of talking about that. If there are certain messages, music, songs, it doesn't just have to be a message, it can be worship, songs. If there are things that bless you, if there are certain ministries or teachings that just connect with you, man, go to those. Go to some of those things that you know you have a certain connection with that have spoken to you before. That's not cheating, to be able to go back and to listen to certain songs and to stir yourself up in the Spirit of God, because that's where one of the instrument panels of God's Word is. It's simply lying down in green pastures. What does that do? It produces life and peace. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. I don't know everything, but I have peace with God. All of a sudden now, instead of having fog, I've got clarity. There's certain things that I sense are right and wrong in my heart again. A sense of clarity. Now, what are we talking about? We're talking about, big picture here, the process of restoring your soul. It starts with changing the narrative to the Word of God. Changing the narrative to a place where I can be ministered to, where God can speak to my heart. And finally it says, therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. If you live by its dictates, you'll die. But if through the power of the Spirit you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God, they are the children of God. And this is kind of what we were alluding to before. When we make those changes, when we make those decisions, to live. This is what Jody was ministering on last week. You're dying to live. And all of a sudden you've got these thoughts, and no, that's not right. You know, when you're in the fog of war and you're carnally minded, a carnal minded can justify a lot of junk. A carnal mind can justify things in your spirit you know isn't right, but I got my reasons. But when you begin to say, no, I'm changing the narrative from that carnal mindedness to spiritual mindedness to what the Word of God says, you hit some inflection points. Say, I got to let go of that, or I got to forgive that, or I got to cut that out. That's not right. That's not God. You begin to make those decisions, and that's where he's talking to right here. He's saying, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. Again, we live in a world that does have an obligation to do what its sinful nature urges it to do, right? If I feel or I do, then I've got an obligation to follow that out. God says you don't have an obligation to that pull of a sinful nature. No, we don't. We can, through the power of the Spirit, put to death the deeds of the sinful nature and live. And so we see that there is an ability, praise God, to live. Because here's the deal. Part of the fog of the mind that we deal with many times can be the consequences or the collateral damage, if you will, of sowing to the flesh. Sin. If we're not honest about sin, then We can't stop the reaping of the corruption of the flesh. You know, the scripture says, if you sow to the flesh, you'll have the flesh reap corruption. If you sow to the spirit, you'll have the spirit reap life. If I'm sowing to the flesh and not being honest about it, I'm going to reap the corruption of the flesh. And that's what he's talking about here. Part of restoring your soul is being able to be honest about some of those things that are causing you to reap the corruption of the flesh, causing you to reap the confusion. And that work of the flesh in Galatians 5, you can look at it. It's a big laundry list of stuff. Adultery, fornication, witchcraft, hatred, outbursts of wrath, murder, revelry, drunkenness. I mean, it's the whole spectrum. And so when we're doing things that we're so, we don't always understand that. Well, I'm just doing this. How can that be corrupting my mind? It does. Again, this is where we have to get on the narrative of the word to be able to be honest with ourselves, to make adjustments that are part of the restoring of our soul. But it starts with getting on that narrative of God, a starting point. And it's not condemnation, you'll see. Man, it's freedom. It's being free from the death, to put to death the deeds of the sinful nature, to not be controlled. But those who are led by the Spirit of God, they're the children of God. So it's like those competing influences, the spirit and the flesh, again. So that first aspect is just kind of preparing our heart, saying, okay, I'm not trying to solve anything. I'm just getting off this narrative to God's narrative. And I believe that in the instrument horizon line of this narrative, I'm going to find some answers that I'm looking for. The next thing is what we're simply calling still waters of fellowship with God. And this kind of gets into a little bit, I feel like, of what even that word was this morning that the Lord ministered along the lines of. Here's part of a story that you might be familiar with, the story of the prodigal son, okay? It's a kid who took all of his inheritance early, went, partied it away, and was in basically extreme poverty and thought, man, even my father's servants have enough to live. He said, I'm just going to go back and, you know, see if my dad will take me back as a servant so I can at least, you know, survive here. So he returned home to his father, and while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming. Filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son, embraced him, kissed him. His son said to him, Father, I've sinned against both heaven and you. I'm not even worthy to be called your son. But his father said to the servants, quick, bring the finest robe in the house, put it on him, get a ring for his finger and sandals for his feet, and kill the calf we've been fattening. We must celebrate with a feast, for this son of mine was dead and is now returned to life. He was lost, but now he's found. So the party began. So here we see the heart of the father. We're singing about this morning too, the heart of the father. A lot of times when we're in that fog of war and different things in our mind, we're also experiencing that spinning is we're experiencing a lack of fellowship with God, fellowship with the Father. When the son returned, he was thinking economics, you know? I'm going to be able to function. I'm going to be able to survive. The scripture said he came to himself. He realized what he did was wrong, but he's just trying to physically survive. When that son came home, his father saw a son. He saw a child. He saw a relationship. You know, I heard somebody put it this way once. It's always stuck with me. Jesus didn't come to make bad people good. He came to make dead men live. We were dead spiritually. And when Jesus died on that cross for our sins and we received him, the Bible says we were translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. We became born again. We became alive in our spirit. There's a reason we can be good. There's a reason we can be. But first things first, it's not about trying to be good. It's making dead men live. You're a child of God. You're alive unto God. And yeah, you could walk away from father's house and do some things. And I think that son's, the prodigal's journey can represent also how we can go prodigal in our mind. We can go prodigal from what we know, prodigal from different things. But there's also, as we realize, as we're getting back on God's narrative, it's not just like, okay, I'm thinking according to what God wants me to think. No, there's fellowship again. In other words, I'm not just lying down in these green pastures meditating on the Word of God. Something else is going on here too. That's part of the healing process. It's part of the restoring process. It's fellowship. It's letting His voice through. I like to put it that way. In other words, I'm not just meditating on the word, I'm listening in my heart. I'm listening in my spirit for what he is going to say to me. Sometimes we pray and say, God, show me. But then we close our ears because we're afraid of what he might say. But Jesus says, no, man, this is how he says it. He says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Take my yoke and learn from me. I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Again, this is talking about the restoring of your soul. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. So this is the other part. This is the still waters. We're looking out, and we're not just observing, but we're listening for what the Spirit of God is saying. It's amazing how he can just give you one simple little word, one simple little guidance to just kind of help you take. Sometimes what you will get from him is just an encouraging word about his love for you, that he's with you. It's like, well, I'm not getting any specific direction. No, you're not getting any specific direction, but he'll just begin to show you and remind you a lot of times of things you already know. So bring it down to this final one. Philippians 4, 6 through 8, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need. Thank him for what he's already done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what's true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. This is God's narrative. Again, our minds just don't naturally stay here. We've got to set our mind on these things above for that life and peace. It's like, okay. And so how many times has it been like, oh yeah, the Bible says that. Oh yeah. I've been knowing that for years, but oh yeah. We're human beings, and these are things that we have to be continually reminded of as we grow spiritually. But here is where it's so beautiful in terms of these still waters and fellowship with God, because a lot of times when you're carnally minded and you're in the flesh, you're not really confronting issues. You might stew about them. You might be angry about them. A lot of times you flesh out as a distraction for them, different things like that. But in the still waters, in the instrument panel of what God is showing us to do, we literally confront things. We take things head on. Man, it's where we tell God what we need. Instead of fleshing out over that thing, I take that thing and I lift it up and I tell God about it. And I just say, God, here it is. I'm not sure how this is going to turn out. I feel like I know what I need to do, but, you know, if I do this, then I'm afraid this could happen. Or begin to talk things out in your mind, in your heart. I mean, I know that's the right thing, but, you know, this is what's going on in my heart, you know, and I need your help. I need your guidance. And maybe I just need to have faith and do the right thing, you know, and or maybe if there's something else I need to know, show me, or begin to just let what's in your heart out. Just begin to express your heart to him in prayer. And there's just something about, because it's amazing how it can swivel. When you're spiritually minded, it becomes an honest, candid conversation with God. If it swivels to carnal mindedness, that's where it goes really painful, dark, negative. But it's amazing how that same heart, when it's just focused, no, God, I'm going to tell you, I'm acknowledging you. Now, that's not a big dramatic thing to us. We're just doing this by faith. But to God, that's a big deal. Faith pleases God. He is pleased when we go and we just begin to tell him what's in our heart and thank him for what he's done. I love that, thank him for what he's done. In other words, I don't get it, but Lord, you love me. And I thank you that you're for me. I thank you that you're sticking with me. I thank you that you care about me. You know, or a lot of times when you'll just see one good thing in the middle of a bunch of junk, and you'll just give him thanks for that one good thing, man, you'll just sense the blessing in your own heart when you have that thankful heart. It just, thankfulness just does something to our heart. It softens our heart and makes us open to him. But I love what's next. Then you'll experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. You know, a lot of times when people are kind of going at it and they're frustrated and they want to, you know, get their points in and different things like that, a lot of times one of the biggest frustrating things that people can experience when they're trying to understand something or trying to communicate is simply the ability to be heard. It's like, man, if I can just have the ability to be heard, there's a satisfaction in that. Now, you may agree or disagree, but if I can at least get what's in my heart out and let myself be heard, there's something special about that. And that's what God is inviting us to. He's inviting us to be heard, to tell him what we need, to tell him what we're thinking about, and to thank him in faith. And then you'll experience peace that exceeds anything we can understand, a peace that guards your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I like that picture we started off with, that with the gal looking out across the water, and there's just a smile, an assurance on her face. And that smile and that assurance that I see when I look at that picture is not a smile of having all the answers. It's a smile of a peace that passes your understanding. It's a smile of keeping your heart and mind in Christ. That's a powerful place when you don't have to know everything, but you experience his peace, experience his presence. What are we talking about? We're talking about restoring your soul, God's instrument panel of restoring your soul. One of those key instruments is simply the Word of God, just getting off my narrative onto God's narrative, realizing that carnal mindedness is really what's binding me. When I get spiritually minded, then I become open to correction and direction and the life of the Word of God, and I can be honest with myself, and it's not foggy anymore. I can point out things and get clarity about my life from the Word of God. But then there's also from that place where I can begin to talk about those things. Now I got clarity. Now let's talk about that situation. So now I can begin to pray specifically about some things. And then what do I experience as I'm praying? His peace that passes my understanding. There is something about just knowing you're back in fellowship with God again. When you're carnally minded, you can't be carnally minded and in active fellowship with God. At some point, you've got to turn. I mean, you can be carnally minded and decide, I'm going to get back into fellowship with God. But staying in a place of that carnal mindedness, there's no fellowship there. But when you decide to turn to God by faith, then you're beginning to say, okay, God, I'm listening to you. I'm looking to you. I'm opening my heart to what you're saying. And then that's when you begin to talk. That's when you begin to talk to God, and you experience that, you know what, I'm in fellowship with God. What are you going to do about that? I don't know, but I've prayed about it. I've prayed about it, and I've just got peace. He's going to guide me. He's going to show me what I need to know when I need to know it. That's amazing to me. That's our relationship with God. This is laid out in the Word of God, how he calls us to walk with him, to simply pray, thank him, trust that peace, and then the follow through. Fix your thoughts in the things that are true and honorable and right and pure and lovely. Because when you've done that, when you've prayed and the peace, keeping your heart and mind in Christ, the enemy is still going to be there as a roaring lion to try to roar every hypothetical worst case scenario possible in your mind. That doesn't go away. But when you've prayed and you've trusted him and you've committed it to him and you've asked him about it, and you've experienced that peace, man, then you have permission. Say, no, true, honest, just, I'm not going to think the worst. I'm thinking the best by permission after I've prayed and as I'm letting his peace keep my heart and mind in Christ Jesus. It's not just positive thinking. It's not just, you know, it's the law of the spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus, the peace that passes my understanding over the law of sin and death. It's God taking care of my situation. But you see that flow and that continuity. This is a beautiful part of God's instrument panel where we begin to express our heart and get what's in our heart out. And then finally, the paths of righteousness. And that would be healing and restoration. This is where things kind of begin to change too. Jesus said to those Jews who believed on him, if you abide in my word, you're my disciples indeed, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Like Hebrews 12 says, so take a new grip with your tired hands and strengthen your weak knees. Make straight paths for your feet, so what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather healed. This is where we begin to make those adjustments, we begin to make those changes, those straight paths for our feet. So as we've prayed, again, as we're letting God speak to our heart, you know, and as you realize, if I'm in a situation right now, things are going to change. But God is going to be guiding those changes. He's going to give me those straight paths for my feet. So this is where, you know, your personal relationship with Jesus is very much personal and where you begin to let him work in your heart. Now, when you think about straight paths for your feet, so that which is lame may not be dislocated, but rather healed. A lot of times when you're going through stuff in your head and God's healing things in your mind, he's going to many times almost speak to you in those paths of righteousness, almost like a cast. You know, if you break a bone, what do you have to do? You got to put it in a cast. You have to restrict the movement for a period of time until something heals, and then you get your movement back. But you can't move it right away because it's not time yet. There's some healing that has to take place before you can have that full expression again. So there are times when we're going through things, even in our soul, where there are straight paths, like a cast, for healing. What about that? Don't go there. It's not time to go there. Stay here. There's a straight path. A lot of times, too, when we're talking about those scriptures, let's say it's, you know, whether it's, maybe it is forgiveness. Man, get a cast of scriptures. You know, I'll just kind of rattle some off, but Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, except that which is good for the use of edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by which you are sealed for the day of redemption, but let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. That's a path of righteousness as it relates to forgiveness. It's that same path in Colossians 3:12. You know, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. And so what is that? Those are like scriptures that are a cast that'll kind of keep my mind in that place. I mean, if anybody has a complaint against another, that's all of our stuff. Nobody gets exceptions in these things. God causes us to go down a path of righteousness, a path of forgiveness, a path of mercy, a path of grace. He causes us to love one another. That's just the way he is. And this is what causes us to be honest with ourselves too, and say, oh, "I can do, you know, I believe this, and I can hold on to that, and I can do it." And when you begin to look at that path, it's like, "No, it's just carnal mindedness." It takes the word of God to be able to call it out, but that's what the word of God says. It's like that's part of my straight path. Because a lot of times when you need that straight path, almost kind of in the same way we need fire drills for schools, because you know in that. As kids, we might remember that the fire alarm would go off and it was a test, and you'd have to make sure that you saw your route to be able to get out of the building on time and the quickest way to do all that. And they would make you practice just so it would be a matter of almost instinctive. So when the time came, you're not having to think about it. You're just doing it because you've practiced that. And a lot of times those straight paths, they are kind of like those fire escape drills. That's what the scripture says. He says, you're never tempted beyond your ability to resist, but God provides a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. And a lot of times that way of escape is those scripture passage fire escape instructions. Because when the temptation is going and the bell is ringing and you're feeling the old resentment and hatred and anger and bitterness, you can't think straight from up here. You got to instinctively go back to those scriptures, that straight path scripture, say, no, what does the word of God say? What does the word of God say? I'm doing what? But there's healing in that path. Before, you'd give yourself permission to just go off for another, you know, 6 months of darkness. Now I'm not giving myself permission to do that anymore. No, I'm going to come back to a path of righteousness for his name's sake. I'm coming back to a straight path so that it isn't dislocated, but there's healing. And to realize that the word of God is still true and it applies to me and it applies to my stuff and my situation too. But you'll see, if you abide in my word, that word abide there means to remain in the same place over a period of time. And again, that's kind of the functional purpose of a cast, to keep you in a place over a period of time for there to be healing. And so when you're dealing with situations, whatever that fog of war is, you can identify that. And we've got great resources these days, Bible Promise books, different things like that, that you can use to help you. Prayers That Avail Much is a book that we try to get into the hands of everybody here at Door of Life. And there's just hundreds of categories of things to pray about. And within each of those categories, there's scripture references that you can begin to build your fire escape path to be able to stay steady when that alarm goes off, temptation or the situation goes. So that's a powerful way. Romans 12 says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Passion, stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture around you, but be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how you think. And again, what I want to show you here too is, as you're renewing your mind, and there's a process of renewal, we see that there is process. It's not all or nothing. You know, a lot of times we'll begin to go along a path, and maybe something that happens, maybe the fire alarm does go off and we don't get back on the scripture and we do get carnally minded and we're condemned and we're beat up and say, well, that doesn't work. No, that still works. There is mercy and grace, forgiveness to get back on track. You know, it'd be like if you were in the middle of a restoration project on a house. Maybe you're a house flipper or something like that. And you're in the middle of a restoration project on a house, and all of a sudden, you know, something happens with one of the contractors or something fails or flops. Well, you don't just stop the whole restoration process because there was a failure with a contractor, a foundation crack or something. No, you dig back in and you go on until you get that thing through, all right? A lot of times when there's a restoring of our soul, there's a project going on up here too. And just because we might have a setback on something doesn't mean we say, oh, that just doesn't work. No, you can just get back on track. There's a process in this. It's not all or nothing, all right? And then finally, I think along these lines, we see a great example from the Apostle Paul. Paul himself says, I don't mean to say I've already achieved these things or I've already reached perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus has first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I've not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God through Christ Jesus is calling us. I love how Paul's candor here. I haven't arrived. I haven't achieved it. I'm not perfect. I'm still a work in progress, he's saying. But he's got some keys. Forgetting the past. Forgetting those things that are behind. Not continually going back and ripping off that bandage. That's just in the process of healing. And having to rip it off over and over and over again. You have permission, scriptural permission, to be able to forget those things that are behind and reach forward to those things which are ahead. Thank God we do. Thank God he does that with us. Thank God he doesn't keep bringing our stuff back up over and over and over again as he's working things out emotionally on our behalf. No, he has the ability and he gives us permission to be able to say, no, I am not going back there. I forgive even as God in Christ has forgiven me. This is part of a straight path, and there's healing in this path. It's not suppression. It's not denial. You're acknowledging. In fact, when you forgive somebody, it's very much like the way you receive forgiveness. When you go before God, you say, I said it. I did it. I was wrong. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I receive your forgiveness and mercy and grace. Same way when you forgive somebody. Father, look at what they did. And this kind of can go back to that part of the expressing your heart. They said it, they did it, it was wrong, and it hurt. But I forgive it, even as you have forgiven me. There's no denial. There's no, you're just saying, that's what you did, Lord. This is your way. This is your path. And there's healing in this path. Man, I'm so glad we've got the Word of God. This is the Word that endures forever. This is not the word of the world. This is the word of God, where we can move on and move forward, praise God, from the past. Do we deal with it? Do we address things? Yeah, through forgiveness. Forgiving even as God in Christ has forgiven me. And we can ask for wisdom and direction. But it's not a matter of ripping open the bandage every time. I remember a minister talking about one time he went to visit a friend, and he said his young son came up, and he had had some kind of scrape or injury. I think he fell off his bike. And, you know, the thing is, but he was kind of proud of his scar a little bit and wanted to show it off. And he came and just ripped the bandage off and open. It was like, oh, gross. This is what happened when I, you know, fell off my bike. And it's like, he thought, when he saw that, he thought, that's the way we can be too. We can want to just rip it off and show everybody our scar and rip it off. Just when things are healing up. You know what I'm saying? And God's way is to let things heal. Yeah. And again, it's like when it's in a cast, it's like, this is the beauty of it too. When you can just let things heal, you're restricting movement. But when something heals, you can go back to things healed and deal with things when they're healed. You know, in a way that you can't while things are still healing. Understand? things. And I've got a broken bone. I just got to wait. Got to stay off that. I got to heal, and then I can walk and address things that maybe I'd want to, but not time. But there's peace that'll come through that process. So restoring your soul, there's process. Like that pilot, we've got some instrument panels that we might just almost have to, like that pilot, put your head between your knees and say, I feel, and it's nothing more than carnal mindedness. But okay, what does the Word of God say? Green pastures, life and peace. What's your narrative? What do you want me to do here, Lord? All right, and then from that place of clarity, we can begin to pray out of our heart, fellowship with God. Man, when that prodigal son came home, it was like, yes, I can hang out with my son again. That's the way he is with you. Do you realize that you're not just a fruit-bearing project to God? You're not part of his spiritual gross domestic product that he's trying to put out, and you're a contributor to that. No, you're his child, and he loves you. He prays that we would get a revelation of the riches of the glory of his inheritance in us. Wow, seems flipped. But there's a deep love that God has for you. And when you get that deep love, how deep, wide, high, all those dimensions get bigger, man, it roots you and grounds you a little bit more in why you're even doing what you're doing, because you're serving a God who really loves you. Paths of righteousness, there's healing and restoration. There's going to be some things, some guidelines that he's going to show you. Might feel like a cast. It might feel like there's some restricted movement for the time being, but you know that there's healing within that path of righteousness. That he's doing some things to restore your soul to where you'll be able to, and many times, I've seen this, where a person's really broken in an area and they're restricted, and then they get so healed in that area that they can go and help other people that are broken in that same area. It's amazing, you know? But first, you get healed. First, you get that wholeness. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning that there is a restoring of our soul that just comes by the power of your grace through your precious green pastures, still waters, paths of righteousness. Father, I just pray this morning that as we're just praying, just Holy Spirit, just minister this message to each one of us this morning. Just show us what that means, just adjustments that we can make. Go ahead and make this a declaration of faith if your heart can agree. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your green pastures and your still waters. I lie down, I look out, and I receive your mercy, your grace, the narrative of your word, clarity. And Lord, just show me adjustments I can make for those straight paths. There's healing in those paths. There's restoration in those paths. You are a good shepherd, and I thank you for your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, receive that this morning. And just let the Holy Spirit minister with that, whatever that means to you. You know, it could be a certain situation or just the questions of life, different things like that. The bottom line is, the beautiful thing about that picture, it's a picture of fellowship with God. It's kind of like as long as you're just in that place of fellowship with God, man, you can take on anything. And that's his heart. So receive that this morning and just let his word and his spirit minister you and bring you to that sweet place. Praise God.